We're hearing a lot of conversation right now on the topic of race. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? Here's Robin McKelvey.
I think it's time for us to get uncomfortable. We've been comfortable in our relationships. We relate very well to people who look just like us, who believe like us, who worship like us, and it's time for us to get uncomfortable.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of our newest resource, Strengthen Your Faith. For June 26, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh.
Well, it's impossible to be unaware that the topic of prejudice and racism has become a huge conversation lately, especially here in the United States. This is something that's been a great concern on my heart for a number of years, and especially in recent weeks, I found myself spending hours in conversation, honest, meaningful, constructive, helpful conversation with a number of my African American sisters. Some of those conversations have been hard, some have been awkward, but they've been so good, as together we've been going to the Word and saying, what does God say about all of this? What does He think? And what does He want our response to be as women from different cultural and ethnic backgrounds? And today we want to take time for you to hear from a couple of those women on this subject. And I want to encourage you, whatever your background or ethnicity or perspective may be, to ask God to speak to your heart as I've been asking Him to speak to mine in these days.
You may be familiar with Grounded, a video cast from Revive Our Hearts that's been airing every weekday morning during this pandemic. Robin McKelvey is a frequent co-host on that program, and she's also spoken at some of our Revive Our Hearts events. She's married to Pastor Ray McKelvey. We invited her and her daughter Renee to talk about the issue of racism and to share their hearts on a recent Grounded episode. Their reflections from their personal experience and their mother's hearts were so insightful that we wanted to air that conversation here on Revive Our Hearts. Now, Grounded happens through a video conferencing call, so the audio isn't the highest quality, but let's listen in as Aaron Davis chats with Robin and Renee about loving one another well in this difficult time.
Today, I want to do a lot of listening. I want to just hear what's on your heart. So, Robin, what is the Lord stirring in you today and in these difficult days?
Well, first, Aaron, I'm going to just put this out there. We will need tissue because this is a very painful area for me. Racism has been a part of my history, and I'm going to share that with you a little later. And also, I am one that is a quick processor, and my first reaction usually is anger. And I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be another Black angry mom because life isn't fair. What I want to be is a godly person where people can look up and say, despite your pain, I see Christ in you. And so that's some of the biggest things that the Lord is stirring in my heart. If God's people, I mean His children, think about it. All of us that name the name of Jesus Christ, we're His children. If we can't work this out in our congregations, in our relationships with each other, do we expect the world to work it out? It's so important that we work this out. And Aaron, frankly, I think it's time for us to get uncomfortable. We've been comfortable in our relationships. We relate very well to people who look just like us, who believe like us, who worship like us. And it's time for us to get uncomfortable. We are very comfortable with sameness. And I mean to say, we're comfortable with our families. We're uncomfortable with sameness. We like things that don't ruffle our feathers too much. Well, it's time that believers get their feathers ruffled. So this is the scripture that's been on my heart. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I've loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, by what? By loving one another. All people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Aaron, I want everybody to know today that love is an action. It's so much more than just saying, I love you. Love is doing something. And it's time for us as believers to lock arms and do something that may be uncomfortable.
Renee, what's the Lord stirring in your heart as you're living in these days, as you're watching it unfold in a public way and living it privately? What's the Lord stirring inside your heart?
I think something really similar. This season has been almost, it feels like a launching pad for something new. And I'm kind of asking the Lord what that is, but definitely a passion for us as believers linking together and going into the trenches together. Because I think for a long time we sit divided in separate trenches and we are not getting as much done because we're divided and because we are going after our own comfortable agendas. And so I think in this season, I'm like, we are so much stronger and more powerful and more, we have more endurance together. And that is what I'm begging the Lord will stir in all of us collectively and hoping to lead in as well.
Well, we're all multifaceted people. You know, I'm a wife, I'm a grounded host, I'm lots of things, but the part of me that is the most stirred as I watch all this unfold is my mother's heart. Now, you're mamas of black sons. I'm mamas of four white sons, but there's something the same about our mother's hearts. Tell me if you still do this, ladies. I haven't had a baby for a while, but I still, if a baby starts crying in the grocery store, I still start doing this, right? Somebody else's baby, I start swaying. That's just like the motherhood in me. And there's this photo that's moved me more than any of the flood of images. Frankly, I can get so overwhelmed by all the information, all the images coming at me. Maybe you've seen it. It's just words spray painted on plywood. And it says, all mothers were summoned when he called out for his mama. And we have George Floyd's last words because they were recorded on video. And more than once, he called out for his mama. And it's reminded me of something that I have kind of studied and been interested in for a long time. I'm a student of history and I like to study conflicts and wars and those kinds of things. I just like history. And something I've paid attention to as a student of history and a mother of sons is that many soldiers, when they're dying on the battlefield, cry out for their mothers. And the part of me that carried children inside my own body, the part of me that held their little bodies close to mine when I nursed them and rocked them in the night, is so grieved by watching our brokenness on full display. It's like the veil's been pulled apart on human brokenness and we are seeing how broken we are. And so I would love to just hear from both of you as mothers of black sons, what God is doing in your mother's hearts.
Well, Erin, racism has been a big part of my story. And I can't share my mother's heart without telling a little bit of my history with racism. Mm. I want to start by sharing my father's story. And these are the big stories that stuck with me. There's been many others, but these are the big stories. My dad was 21-year Air Force. And going from one platoon to another platoon, he had to ride a train. He was going to be AWOL if he wasn't there in that morning. So he drove the train, but a white man came in and needed his berth, the sleeper car, the berth that he was sleeping in. He asked my dad to have it. My dad was like, no, I got to be at the, I'm a military. I'm going to have to be there in the morning. I'm going to have to be, you know, alert and active. And this guy was very upset. And so he went and got I don't know who he got on the train, but they were able to stop the train, have local police officers get on the train, handcuff my dad, and escort him off. Mm. My dad comes off the train, and then that train leaves, and my dad is like, I have to be on that train, or I'm going to be AWOL in the morning. The officers uncuffed him and said, you're free to go, and laughed as they walked away. Mm. That's one story. I'm also a sister of racism. My brother, who served over 20 years in the Army, walked into his barrack one day and there's a noose hanging. Mm-hmm. It's the only black man in that particular barrack and there's a noose hanging. I won't tell you the end of that story, but my brother did end up in jail. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he had to call Congress people to get him out.
I've been a wife of racism. My husband was walking home. He was stopped by police officers because he looked just like this man, that had robbed somebody. Well, the man that had robbed somebody was 6 foot tall and light skinned. My husband is 5 foot eight, standing on his tiptoes, and he's a dark skinned man, a darker skinned man. And then I've been a woman. I've been profiled. I go to the grocery store with my kids. People follow me. I go to check out and they want to check every item to make sure I haven't stolen anything. I've been a mom of racism. My son, who lives in Chicago, was walking home with a friend. The police officer comes, pulls him over, handcuffs him, puts his face against the car with his hands and starts searching his pocket. He pulls out his Moody Bible Institute ID and he apologized. But that's what happened to my son. And it continues. And the reason I asked Renee is because we've been sharing a part of her life and what's been going on in her life. And I want Renee to tell her story because it continues. This racism, this profiling, these injustices are continuing with my own children. Mm-hmm. And I want to be Mama Bear and go attack. Mm-hmm. That's not what God asked me to do.
I think for me, growing up as a minority in mostly majority settings, just being misunderstood by my friends constantly, with them not knowing anything about my culture, but me knowing about theirs, and me having to educate them not only on my culture, but theirs, and jokes being said, just misunderstanding about my hair or my skin, and having to teach them like almost like you're a spectacle constantly. Mm-hmm. And that was just my whole childhood into college life. And then I think for me also, when I did enter into college and having a lot of other minority friends, seeing them go through the same things and carrying that weight together is also a burden of racism that we carry daily. And we see it compounded and compounded because we're carrying it together. And so I think that adds to the weight. So we've been married just a year and we've had over 5 instances that have jolted us. But one of them was just a few weeks ago. He called. We were having dinner upstairs with my family, and he called and said that he was on his way home. And so we were going to wait to start dinner, and we ended up waiting like 20 minutes. And we didn't know where he was. And so he called me again to say that he had gotten pulled over and he didn't want to talk about it. And so then we went on. But the next day he finally told me and said that he was pulled over, pulled out of the car, put to the ground, and was told to lay on the side of the road, face to the ground, for 20 minutes while they checked out his ID, while they checked out whatever the confusion was. And they said, oh, his car was suspect because it matched another car or something, but they let him go with a warning. Mm. And he had done nothing. You know, they let him go with a warning. And so that's just one.
Okay, can I just, when somebody wrongs you, if you even have a car accident and it's somebody else's fault, you would expect them to get out and say, I'm sorry. But that's the part that's missing. We don't hear the I'm sorry's. What was he getting a warning for? We say it. People are pulled over a lot of times because they're driving while black.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Or you're walking while black, or you're shopping while black, or jogging while black. Mm-hmm. And so it affects you. Think about this man having to come home to his family who has just been totally humiliated on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain what it feels like to know that he is powerless against those who are supposed to protect him. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something this year that I realized in a whole new way, because I'm kind of like my mom. I'm very fiery. I'm passionate. And I think I can fight my way through anything. And so I've kind of been like, well, I'm going to fight this. What can I do? And this year has taught me that sometimes I can't do anything. In these scenarios with him, I can't do anything but pray, which is a powerful thing, but you feel helpless.
So how do you counsel your own hearts, or how does the Lord counsel your hearts through his word when you want to rise up and fight against it? Or when you want to default to anger, when you want to default to bitterness, what is it that you're saying to your own heart, that the Lord's saying in your heart, or around your own dining room tables, to respond in ways that honor the Lord to these terrible, terrible things that keep happening?
Erin, one of the things, no matter what happens with profiling, the injustices or racism, any of that, I have to remember every second of the day, every minute of the day, every hour of the day, whose I am. And if I don't believe that, and I start believing what the world says that I am just because of the color of my skin, then that makes this life in vain. But I have a purpose to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody I come in contact with. That's one of the beautiful things. One of the stories about Renee's husband, Donnelly, when he was in the back of the car, he's sharing Christ with the police officer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when they pull up, this is another instance of the five, and since they've been living here, and they've been here since after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And so when they pull up, the officer is so sorry that he pulled him over. You know, he says that to my husband, but he has him over handcuffed in the back of the car. But as he began to speak to him and see Christ in him, he even allowed him a phone call to call Renee. So when I want to get angry and when I want to go tell somebody off, that's not my character anymore. That's who I used to be before I knew Christ. But I can now live as an ambassador for Christ every single second of the day. Sometimes Ray has to pull my shirt tail. I know what it means. I truly know what it means to be kind-hearted, to be kind to one another, to be tender-hearted, forgive each other, even up to 70 times, seven times, over and over and over. I must forgive because that's what God did in Christ for me.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think, and what the Lord has been teaching me through this is that it's okay to be angry, and that I think as a... Yes, that's a proper response. I think that is a Christ-like response, to be enraged at sin, at injustice. And because it's a Christ-like response, I'm learning to then give it to Christ and say, okay, Lord, what are you going to do with this anger? Propel it for your kingdom. And I think apathy is the lack of seeing with his eyes, honestly. And so I think for me, that's where I've been angry for my husband, angry for the experience that we have lived and we will continue to live. But in this season, I'm like, Lord, use this anger for your glory. And I think that has freed me, because I don't have to take something that feels like a flame and control it, but I give it to the Lord to do with it what he wills. And he beautifies it and uses it for his glory.
You are putting such beautiful faces and hearts to something that for many of us, we just see the masses, and it's hard for us to know how to feel, how to think, how to respond. And you're giving voice to the human side of it, which we need so desperately. Maggie wrote to us, "Forgive us, Lord, humble us, and stir in us a love that breaks hearts and the hateful barriers that divide us. Bring unity and peace." Charlotte wrote to us and said, "This is a call to prayer for me." And if it today becomes a call to prayer, then hallelujah, Grounded has done its work. And I'd just love to hear from each of you about what you would encourage us to do. I'm a white woman in middle America, and I don't always know how to respond. I think many of us are wondering, what can we do as mothers, as grandmothers, as neighbors to respond rightly to the sin of racism? And I've been very, very quiet on social media because I want to know what the word says. I'm sitting in the word. I'm trying to make sense of it. But of course, I have the filters of my own experiences and my flesh to contend with. So what can we do? Help me navigate that to help fight the sin of racism and the deep hurt that our brothers and sisters are facing.
Something that I have been asking and sharing in this time is, as I talked about experiencing things with my husband and the feeling of helplessness, I think that would be maybe not completely dissipated, but just alleviated if we as believers came together and fought the battle together. But I think because you feel this helplessness, and then you've got your own people, believers, who come either debating you or willingly or unknowingly ignoring your pain, that adds to the helplessness a sense of loneliness. And that, I think, it grieves you and it makes the battle really tiring. And for me, the Lord, and it's been several years that he has revealed to me how this is a kingdom issue, mm-hmm. how he created in himself one new man out of the two, broke down the dividing walls, and the enemy is crafted it in this American story to be a dividing wall between black and white, majority and minority. And we have allowed that, I think, as believers. And so my call to us, to myself, has been, let us seek Christ in a way that rids us of our comfort, rids us of our fears, and to get into the trenches together, to educate ourselves, to relate to one another in ways that may be uncomfortable, to have conversations, to meet with people who might not look like us. And I don't know, to get out of our comfort zones in a way. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Giving us so much Bible, because the Bible tells us that when one suffers, we all suffer together, that we're to weep with those who weep, that we're to carry each other's burdens. So we can just enter into each other's pain, wow. into each other's suffering. How powerful is "I see you, and my heart hurts because your heart is hurting"?
And sometimes it's easy for us to not do it because there's nobody that's close to us or in our neighborhoods. But I don't really know. I was speaking at a conference in Pennsylvania last year, and the majority of that culture was a Dutch culture, and it wasn't a lot of African Americans around. And I'm like, but do you go to the grocery store? Do you see them at the grocery store? Begin with a smile and then go say to them, you know, I want my family to know different cultures. Would you come to my house for dinner? It can't be comfortable. We're too comfortable being comfortable. And so it's time for us to get out of our comfort zone so that we represent Christ in every area. And I don't want your four boys growing up thinking that your race is the most popular race, the majority race. It's the only race I'm comfortable with, so that's who I'm going to stick with. Last Monday, my daughter got engaged, and we are going to welcome our first vanilla brother in our home. And he's going to be my son. He doesn't care that he's the only vanilla brother in this sea of chocolate. But so many times we've been the only chocolate drop in a sea of vanilla ice cream. And it's time for us, all of us, to get uncomfortable. I want people to know me. I want people to love me. And to know me is to know my experience. And then to see why we hold so tightly onto Christ. It's painful, but it's hard. And we all need to get hard. We all need to understand that it's not going to be easy, is what I want to say. Mm-hmm. It's going to take some sheer drive and willfulness to do what God calls us to do. It's more than just, I love you. I love you is an action. Love me greatly by getting in the trenches with me. Mm-hmm. If I hurt, you should hurt. Not because something happened in this world, but because I'm your sister in Christ. And as sisters in Christ, if I know your experience, I should be just as enraged, so I can lock arms and we can fight this battle. People aren't seeing Christians fight this battle. We do a lot of talking, but there's no action. And it's time for action. It's time for us to get uncomfortable.
What a call to action and to prayer. We've been listening to a conversation between Erin Davis, Robin McKelvey, and her daughter, Renee Nelson. It's from a recent episode of Grounded.
Yeah, you know, Dana, I'm so thankful for these godly women who can share their hearts, share their experiences about a difficult topic, and direct us to the hope of Christ. This is a much needed and maybe overdue conversation for some in our world today. And we can learn a lot by taking time to hear others' perspectives.
And that's something that you and I have both been taking a lot of time to do these past several weeks. We've been on Zoom calls together with our sisters who are African American. We've been both individually on phone calls or taking walks with friends just to learn. Because I think right now we all need to listen and to learn.
And I'm so thankful, Dana, that as we came to this moment of escalated tension in our culture, that we have friends, African-American women, that are not new to our lives, mm-hmm. that we've walked with for years, that we have cultivated relationship with and trust with, and they've been a part of Revive Our Hearts behind the scenes, on the platform, just in the context of our everyday relationships. And I'm so thankful for their willingness at a time like this to engage with us. That can be exhausting.
Mm-hmm. And time-consuming.
Time-consuming, hard. But these are precious women among other friends who have been willing to have that conversation with us, and I'm so grateful.
You know, an important voice in the conversation, I would say the most important voice in the conversation, is the voice of the Lord. And you've been soaking in scriptures about just how important our relationships are, haven't you, Nancy?
Yeah, it's so important that we anchor our hearts in God's Word. And you can see beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and all the way through Scripture that apart from Christ, our relationships are going to be characterized by enmity and strife and alienation and anger and hatred. These things flow out of hearts that are not redeemed. Sinful hearts treat people in sinful ways. And this doesn't just revolve around race. That's an important part of the discussion. But you may be finding this in your own home, maybe in your own marriage or with your children. The enemy is always trying to alienate and separate people who God wants to be of one accord and of one spirit. And so that's why when we come to scriptures that talk to us about our redeemed life, what it looks like, how we flesh that out, there is a oneness in Christ that has to be lived out in our relationships. And you see this all through the New Testament. For example, Colossians chapter 3, Paul talks about those who've been raised with Christ, are seated with him. They're to put to death, to mortify attitudes and values that are earthly or carnal or fleshly. And then he says, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, because those things will happen. White, black, young, old, poor, rich, male, female, Jew, Gentile, they're going to be complaints against each other. You see that in the scripture. You see it in life today. And he says, when you have complaints against each other, you need to bear with each other. You need to not just stuff it under the surface and pretend like it doesn't exist. That's not what forgiveness means. But he says, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And then here's the verse I want to get to, Colossians 3, 14. Above all these, put on love. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Love, perfect harmony, doesn't mean perfect agreement on everything. You and I don't agree on everything.
Exactly.
We have differences.
I've often said we're on the same page, just not the same place on the page sometimes.
And that's all right. But in the midst of that, we put on love. Mm-hmm. Our hearts are bound together in perfect harmony, and we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts.
You know, isn't it interesting, Nancy, that it says put on love? We don't naturally have it.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes an inconvenience. I know when one of my neighbors knocks on the door and I'm already in my jammies and I have to put on a sweatshirt and put on my slippers. It's an inconvenience. And right now, I think we need to love each other by taking that inconvenience on. Let's put on love. It's going to take a little bit of work.
And that means reaching out to friends, to neighbors, to people who are different than we are, whether it's their cultural background, their socioeconomic background, their ethnicity. You and I have had the privilege, you mentioned it a moment ago, of having some really sweet calls in recent weeks with African-American sisters and saying, let's talk about this and how can we learn from each other and how, and are there ways that we're tripping each other up unintentionally? Let's have iron sharpen iron. I want to better hear your perspective. We were on a call recently with a sweet friend of ours who was very transparent about some issues of injustice and racism that she's facing in her secular workplace. And here's a woman who loves Jesus, but she was really tearful talking about it. Mm-hmm. And what she described there is something that you and I have not experienced. A number of the things that Robin and her daughter Renee expressed on this Grounded episode are things you and I have not had to walk through. So to listen to each other, to hear each other's hearts, and to say, how can I put on love? How can I express care? And if we're just ranting on social media and being quick to throw out accusations or to dislike this or react to that, that's not the way the body of Christ ought to be functioning. Mm-hmm. We will have points of disagreement sometimes, but in all these things, we need to put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And again, that peace doesn't mean we don't have differences. We have differences in my family. Robert and I have differences in our marriage. You and I, Dana, have differences in our friendship. We have differences at times with some of our Black brothers and sisters, differences of perspective or experience. Those differences are not necessarily sinful differences. But in the process, we want our hearts to be bound together and the peace of Christ to rule, so that together we can show the world a transforming power of the gospel to tear down walls, to tear down barriers, and to make us one in Christ.
I needed to hear that today, Nancy, and we need that peace in our world right now. I feel encouraged, and I hope you do too, because we certainly need that right now in some of these very disturbing days that we're walking through. We love bringing you encouragement from God's Word and His people, and the way we do that is through friends like you who support this ministry. And I just wonder, would you ask the Lord if He'd want you to give a gift to keep this podcast coming to your device? When you support this ministry with a gift of any amount today, we'd like to send you the Flourish Set. It's absolutely beautiful. This pair of resources packaged together in a little folder are both designed to help you flourish in your faith. One part is a booklet written by Nancy called Strengthen Your Faith, and the other piece is an assessment tool called the Personal Vitality Plan. You'll never flourish without taking a prayerful look at what's going on in your life, what's going well, and what needs worked on. And that's where the Vitality Plan comes in. And you'll never flourish apart from spending time in the Word of God. That's where the booklet by Nancy comes in, and it's a study through 2 Peter chapter 1. So be sure to ask for Flourish when you call to make your gift of any size. The website is reviveourhearts.com, or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959.
Well, have you ever felt frustrated by the trials you were going through, only to discover later that God was preparing you to face something even more difficult? That was true of next week's guest. She had no inkling whatsoever how hard things were going to be for her and her family as they prepared to be missionaries overseas.
I am very much a worrier. I mean, my natural tendency is to freak out over stuff. The thought never crossed my mind that one of us would be shot there.
It's a riveting story I hope you won't miss, all next week, right here on Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth wants you to love with your actions. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.